been talking about the gifts of the Spirit, and we've been talking about how God gives gifts to everyone as he wants. If we know him and we're seeking him and we ask him, God blesses us with gifts. Why? To prosper his kingdom, to build his ministry, that others might be touched. They might find the same Jesus, hopefully we know, and their life might be set free. So he wants to empower us with these gifts that we can be a better blessing. That's the purpose of it, that he might receive glory, he might be exalted, and that people might be touched. The gifts of the Holy Spirit exactly do that. You heard a bit a second ago when Zipporah was basically kind of a word of knowledge slash prophetical word there that she was speaking out. That wasn't just from Zipporah. She felt prompted to speak that so that people, there's someone or several in this room that needed to hear what was being said. God at times chooses to speak directly to his people. That's one of the gifts. There are many gifts, but today we're going to talk about the gift of, I should say, gifts of healing. Because God wants to heal people. That's why we, you know, take the time to pray and believe for God to touch lives. And today, some of you, and I encourage you last week, those of you that were here, if you are sick, if you know someone that is sick, please bring them today, because we're going to pray at the end. Now, before you think this is going to get weird and spooky and people are going to fall on the floor and roll around, we're not talking about that. But you know what? If God chooses to do that, so be it. He's God. I'm not. But we're going to pray and we're going to ask God to touch specifically people's lives. Not only that, but we're also going, for those of you that are here that know Jesus, that you want to be used more by God in the gifts of the Spirit, we're going to pray for you to receive the gift of healing. And we're going to allow you, if you so choose, by faith, to pray for others that are here that are sick. Because you have to understand, God is the healer. You're not. We're the vessel. I brought some oil over here. The Bible says we're to anoint with oil. And don't worry, it's not bacon grease. It's. I even got some stuff from Israel, actually, that my daughter brought back. So I was like, this is holy oil. Well, you know, I think it just came out of the Albert Einstein bottle, but it's okay. You know, it's that point of faith that we have, that we just be obedient and God does it, right? But concerning spiritual gifts, we're going to read this verse again because it's been our verse the last 3 weeks. It says, now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, that's another word for people that don't know the Lord, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who's speaking by the Lord of God says, Jesus be cursed. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes those. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Did you hear what that said? To each one. So if you're sitting here thinking, I'm not acceptable, that's not really what it says. Now, true, you need to be a believer. You need to have an experience with Jesus Christ in a personal way. I'm not talking about going to church and sitting there long enough to become the chair or whatever. I'm talking about the personal relationship that we can know and have and know for sure we can have through Jesus Christ by asking him to come into our heart, forgive us, and make us new. And then we choose to follow him. That's what being a follower of Christ means. That means laying down some things in our life because his ways are higher and better than ours, and we're to follow that. So to each one of those people, it says the manifestation of the gifts, the Spirit distributes those gifts exactly as he wants for the common good, for everyone's good. So to one, there's given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another, a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit, to another, the gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another, miraculous powers, to another, prophecy, to another, distinguishing between spirits, to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. And all these are the works of the one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Because God knows we're in situations at times that he needs to show up and he needs to work through his people specifically for that situation. You know, what Jesus did on the cross, that was complete. I mean, that was the full deal. That was the menu meal there. I mean, he did it all. He died for the entire human condition, for all time, for all men. That atoning death was more than adequate for the whole person. That means the soul. That means the spirit. That means the body as well. But Satan has used sin and sickness as kind of the twin giants of defeat, you know. Sin and sickness, the twin giants of Satan, he uses to come to deceive and try to destroy people that are made in God's image, his children. But forgiveness and healing are the twin blessings that God has provided through the cross of Christ. Healing and forgiveness to redeem us and make us whole again. Healing is a central part of the Bible. Healing. So Jesus went around those three short ministry years when he was actually doing the stuff. He went around teaching God's word, preaching repentance and the blessings of God's kingdom, and healing every kind of sickness. Matthew 4:24 just says quickly, when they saw this, the people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering with severe pain, those that are demon-possessed, yes, that still happens. Those having seizures, those paralyzed, and he healed them. Basically, they're making a buffet of things here, and they're saying, look, nothing's too hard. Jesus healed them all. Done. And Jesus even quoted Isaiah in Matthew 8:16 when he said this. It said that evening that a lot of demon-afflicted people were brought to him, and he revealed the inwardly tormented. Inwardly tormented. Some of you have a hard time sleeping at night. Some of you deal with vertigo. I mean, these are panic attacks. That's pretty much tormenting, and that's very inward. And maybe others don't know about it, but you do. Or the whole thing about you can't, you know, shake someone's hand because I might get germs. You know, all those kinds of things, obsessive compulsive disorders. But Jesus said this to fulfill what Isaiah's well-known sermon said. He said, he took our illnesses and he carried our diseases. That was a prophetic word of Isaiah about the coming Messiah, Jesus. And Jesus says, guess what? I'm the one that was talked about by Isaiah. And I'm taking care of it all. Jesus, God in the flesh, the Son of God, he was the perfect representation of God, and not just in the flesh, but the perfect representation of God's nature, his character. He revealed God's will and action. So when someone says, I don't know if it's God's will to heal, well, then why did Jesus do it? He's a perfect reflection of the heart of the Father. And God wanted us to know, look, it is my will to heal. It is my will to take care of some things in your life. I have better things for my people. I remember when we were in Russia speaking about in Acts 10, it says, you know how God anointed this Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And it says, Jesus went around doing good, but he healed all who were under the devil's power. Healed all under the devil's power. Now, I don't want to say that if you have a cold, it's a demon of sneeze, demon of snot, whatever. I don't necessarily, don't get me going. I don't want to imply that necessarily, but there are a lot of sicknesses that the devil hides behind. I can tell you, if you've spent any time, well, I don't mean it this way, in like an insane asylum, I haven't, don't worry. But if you, although I think most of us should be there sometimes, but if you've ever spent any time around people with mental disorders, you have people come up and say the wildest things. Hi, I'm Jesus. Good to meet you. How's the cross? I mean, you know, it's like, you know, people say some crazy stuff, but they never say, hi, I'm the devil. Ever wonder why that? Ever wonder why swear words never involve Satan? That's always God, bleh, or bleh, you know what I mean? That should kind of give us a little bit of a clue that maybe there's something holy about the name and that maybe it's real. You mention the word Jesus, you hear me say it all the time. You mention the word Jesus, boy, stuff, people get bristled, Jesus. You mention the devil and they just go, yeah, you know, no big deal. Mention Jesus, though, things happen, it shakes them up. But I remember there was a worship leader in Russia, and I may have shared this a long time ago, but there's a worship leader, we're on a mission trip in Russia, in Belarus, Brozovka was the name of it. And this little town. And they had this this house of culture there. And for those of you who haven't heard this, one of the worship leaders would kind of have these little epileptic fits after the service. And she'd sit there and her eyes would roll back in her head. And we'd kind of like, whoa. You know, and they would all be around her now, you know, doing this kind of thing. But they always made us leave because we had to catch a bus and all this stuff. And I remember that this girl, you know, I thought, this is awkward. But, okay, well, bless her heart. She's up here worshiping God even regardless of her physical problem. And some of our people happened to be staying at her house because we there weren't hotels there. We had to sleep in their homes, and they were very gracious. Got out, I mean, they basically slept on the floor so we could sleep in their beds. Really gracious people. And I remember this one, the next day, a couple of my workers came to me and said, you won't believe what happened last night. I was like, oh, I can probably believe it. On a mission trip, anything happens. And he said, well, you know that girl that has the rolls her eyes and has epilepsy? And they said, and I said, yeah. And they said, well, we were staying at their house, and this noise was in this room really loud, and she was in there, and I heard the screaming and banging, and the mother was in there, and she came out, slammed the door behind her, kind of held the door, like really kind of embarrassed and scared at the same time. And then the door gets pushed open, knocks the woman out of the way. And here's this girl coming at them cussing in English. She doesn't speak English. That's a sign as well. And basically coming at them using all kinds of foul language. And she was demon possessed. So the epilepsy was a cover for what the enemy was doing spiritually in her life. Now, you can say, I don't care what you believe. I saw it. I was around this. I know what happened. And they prayed for her. I mean, she was ready to claw their face off. And if you've been around demon-possessed people, they are strong. I was telling somebody the other night, there was about 125-pound, what would that be, 57-kilo young man in our youth group, and he manifested a demonic presence out of the blue, and we didn't have a clue. And it took four or five of us to hold him down, and I was out on his arm, and he was moving me around like a parrot, like a bird on a twig. And there's a lot of power there. But they used the name of Jesus on her, and they delivered her. It's an example of how sometimes medical things can be disguised over something that is spiritual. And there's a little bit of proof of that because of the Garden of Eden. We'll get to that in a minute. So why do people need healings? Why do we get sick? Well, if God is so good, you know, this is what people say out on the street. If God is so good, then why does he let good people get sick and even die? My grandma died. She didn't deserve to die. She was a nice woman. Well, I'm sure of that. But maybe not everything is God's fault. And, you know, it's the consequences. In the beginning, it was never God's plan for anyone to get sick. It was never God's plan even for death. In the beginning, in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, they were made for eternity. They had it good. They didn't have to do anything. I mean, God was growing the fruit. I mean, he didn't have to work hard. She didn't have to have pain in childbearing. But after the sin came in, God said, guess what? Things are going to change. Things are different around here now. Because you chose to try to be God. You know, Satan came in. Oh, yeah, God didn't mean it. Blah, 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 blah. Surely doesn't mean that for you guys, your buddies. He just doesn't want you to know what he knows. Don't eat that tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's okay. Then you'll be like God. That's a cool thing. So Eve ate that, right? And boom, darkness came into the garden. That's why when God came hunting for them, they hid. Sin does that, doesn't it? It makes you hide from God, hide from his presence. God knew what had happened. And it was at that point, though, that was the original cause of sickness. And it was brought in by spiritual problems because they disobey God. That's a spiritual problem by Adam and Eve. And from the beginning, Satan has been tempting God's creation so that they can think they can be like God, to decide for themselves what is right and what is wrong, right? Everyone's got their moral compass, you know, it's kind of when we seek to gain ethical discernment and moral knowledge from our own faulty minds and not from his word, then we set ourselves up as sort of little gods before God. And only God has the right to determine what is good and what is evil. That's why he didn't want them to eat from that tree. But he gave them a choice, didn't he? Isn't that amazing? You'd think, God, you made the garden perfect. You made people perfect. Why did you give them the choice? God always gives us a choice because he's a jealous God. He wants people to love him and serve him because we want to, not because we have to and we have no choice. God has the right to determine everything. He's Lord, we're not. He's the author, we're just the pages. So moral and spiritual death entered in the garden, and physical death, it says, soon was to follow. They had that perfect life and gave it up because of the pride. Consequences of sin, you know, God told them, he said, they would, because of this new independence, the pain of childbirth, Adam would have to struggle all of his life with physical hardships and would even end in death. So those are the consequences of that sort of thing. And then Satan became the lasting enemy of God's creation and still continues to try to deceive today, doesn't he? He still puts thoughts in our mind. He still tries to get us to walk away from God. And the biggest deception of all is just not accepting Christ for who he is and what he did on the cross. Satan always tries to give, oh, you've got all this. You can do this over here. We've got Buddhism. We've got Islam. We've got, and we'll make up. If that's not good enough, we'll make up another one for you. So humanism, we'll do that one. That's good too. Anything that has another Jesus, we'll do. Just don't do the Jesus thing. That would be foolish. That looks terribly unlearned. That looks terribly childish. That's for old women. That's all this kind of stuff that Satan wants us to buy into because of our pride and what we think others are going to think of us instead of what we think God thinks about us. So is healing for today? Well, what's written in the Bible is for an ongoing ministry of God's church when he talks about healing. Jesus sent out the 12 disciples, remember, the first guys? Sent them out to heal the sick, sent them out in pairs. Then they were given authority over sickness and went from village to village, healing the sick and casting out demons as well. That's in Luke 9. Then in Luke 10, he commissioned 70 disciples. He's bumping it up. 70 people to go do the same thing, not just the original 12. Then after Pentecost, the early church, that means now hundreds and thousands, continued Jesus' healing ministry as part of proclaiming the gospel message. And that's that awesome promise I shared with you last week, that for all that will follow Jesus. And it's in John 14, 12. He says, truly, truly. He says, in other words, listen up. This is for real. He says, I tell you the truth. He said, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. And I'm giving you the Holy Spirit, who's coming to take my place. The person of God in the Holy Spirit, who's going to anoint you with power. If you ask and seek the gifts of the Spirit, God wants to do these things through you. So God heals out of compassion. We have a God that is a loving God. I know most people, when they think of God, they think of a mean guy with a long beard, eating chicken, throwing the bones, and throwing lightning bolts at us here on earth or something. Like that's his pastime, is waiting for us. He's got all these cameras and all these monitors. Yeah, I see up right there. He messed up. Ha, ha, ha. I'm going to get him. You know, it's not like he doesn't thrive on this thing, you know. He has compassion. All the time, Jesus had compassion. You see it all the time. He wept over the city of Jerusalem. When he would meet people that were in pain, when he met people that were sick, he wanted to heal them. True, he didn't heal everyone. But the ones he touched always got healed. Always. Because he had compassion. It didn't matter if they were lepers, if they were blind, possessed, he'd even raise the dead. He did not shrink back because someone was dirty or because they had sores. He blessed them with his healing. There's a Jack Deere quote. To the degree that you can enter into his compassion for the sick. Listen up. To the same degree, the same amount that you can enter in to his compassion for the sick and the hurting, you can be a vessel through whom that healing power of Jesus can flow. In other words, if we're just praying for people just because I want to see if God can heal through me, I'm a big guy. No, wrong motive. We heal because we feel what that person feels. We feel the pain Jesus feels for that person. God, touch them. They need you to do a miracle in their life. Bless them, God. Take away the pain. You know, that you would have that kind of same compassion of heaven. That's why he heals. Second thing is to bring glory to himself. He wants to heal that others might see his glory. That was one of the factors. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he said this. He said, this sickness will not end in death. He said, now I know I've been waiting. I could have come here in the beginning, but I waited 3 days. You guys would think he was really dead by then, 3 days. He said, but I have done this. He said, it's for God's glory that God's son may be glorified through it. That's in John 11:14. So it's for God's glory. Here's an important side note. I know so often people, when we're praying, even praying in public or praying, you know, if we gather in a group and say, okay, let's pray. Some people, and I understand this, so this is not a diss on anyone, but we clam up. We don't want others to hear us pray. We think, I don't want to be judged by how I pray. I just, that person prays really good, and I stink at praying, you know, or whatever you're thinking, which isn't true, of course, but it's made to shut you up. It's tried to limit you. And one thing we have to really note is that when we are worried that we might look foolish if we lay hands on someone to see them get healed, that's not a reason for God to heal because he's worried about how you appear. That's not the reason that God is willing to heal, whether you look foolish or not. But he will heal someone to bring glory to God. Not for your glory, but for his glory. You know, it's kind of I heard this quote once. It said, if we are careful to give God glory for every healing, you know, I know people say, well, I prayed for 100 people, I've never seen one healed. Or I prayed for 99 and then I saw one healed. Gosh, I'm not any good. Well, what about that one that got healed? I mean, is that not worth something? He said, if we are careful to give the Lord glory for every healing, then he is willing to take all the blame for those who don't get healed. Fair deal. God just says, pray. Let me handle it. Don't worry about being judged. Don't worry about how you appear. It's my business. You pray, I heal. If I choose not to heal, it's not your fault. Of course, unless you're praying and you're like, oh, well, then you're wasting your time. You pray with faith. As a response to faith is one of the reasons God heals. Remember the woman in the Bible that had this in Matthew 15. She had this 12-year problem of bleeding. And classic story. She had enough faith to say, I don't even need to get God's attention, Jesus' attention. He's in this crowd of people. She crawled on her hands and feet and said, if I can just kind of touch part of his clothing, that's enough. And that's, wow. Jesus, when he felt her touch, I mean, how do you feel him? Someone touch your clothing? But he did. But he felt her touch his heart. That's what happened. He stopped and said, who touched me? And of course, they made fun of it and said, what do you mean, who touched you? You're in this huge crowd of people. Everyone's touching you. He said, no, someone touched me. Touched by faith, his heart. And there was the woman with the issue of blood. And the rest is history. She was healed. He said, take heart, my daughter. Your faith has healed you. It takes faith. God responds to faith. Faith in healing means believing that he has the ability to heal. Not just like, yeah, I read about it, but do we believe he's able to heal? Our hearts must be attached, you know, to our words. It has to be more than just talk, more than just religious speech. It has to be faith that bubbles up out of our heart, because that is what we really believe, that he is able to heal. The question isn't, can God heal, but does God heal? And, you know, here's a point. We will never ask God for anything that we won't believe he still does. The reason a lot of us don't pray for people is because we don't really believe God is going to do it. Is that not true? I mean, help me out. I mean, if I'm telling you wrong, you tell me. But a lot of reasons we don't do things because we really don't want to put, as we say, our money where our mouth is. We really don't want to back it up. If we really believe God would heal, we'd want to be, where's another one? You're running over here. We would be pretty fanatical about it, because we go, God, you're able and they need you. That would be a pretty big deal. In response to his own promise is another reason God's heal. And we'll see that here in a minute in James. So the Bible says there are three ways God's healing power was imparted through the believers. One is the laying on of hands. You'll find that in Mark 16, which said that when they place hands on sick people, they will get well. He's talking to the believers here. This was, you know, going to all the world, preach the good news. This was at the end of the book of Mark. He said, this is for you all. Go out and do this. Another thing is by confessing sin aloud. Followed, rather, by anointing with oil. I told you we have some oil. But here's the thing. If you know that there is something in your life that's really goofy, when I say that, sinfully so, when you're just not living right for God, and you know there's a conviction there about it, because you'll know there's a conviction there, then I would suggest, according to Scripture, that you say, God, I want to get rid of this. Now, can you heal me, please? It would be wise to ask God to forgive you of that sin and then ask for the healing. James 5, 14 through 16 says this, is anyone among you sick? Let them call all the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. It says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful. It's effective. Should make us want to pray more. God says, there's power in your prayers. I care about your prayers. I listen. They're effective for me. I can work in your prayers. Another way, and God commissioned the whole church to heal, you know. And so another way is the spiritual gifts of healings. We've been talking about spiritual gifts. That's another way that God uses, imparts his healing power. And we read about to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. One of those being the gifts of healing. Does that mean everyone in here is a healer and has a gift of healing? No, because God gives them as he wills. And there are many gifts. This is one of them. But the Bible says eagerly seek spiritual gifts, plural. It's good. God, you got 9 of them listed in Corinthians. I'll take all 9. Thank you. I would like that. I want the complete package. Okay. If it's a package, I'll take it. I want that whole thing because I want God to be used. I want my life, which is nothing but a vapor, to be worth more than a puff. I want it to be worth something that stands for something that glorifies him, that touches other people, that can glorify him, that those same people can glorify God through what they do. Because this world is desperately in need of a lot. And God says, guess what? Tag, you're it. He's passed the mantle to us. That's why he said, go. You're the ones. Seek my gifts. I want to use you to be ministers of my healing. The same compassion I have, you can have for them too. You know, and evangelism, God uses healing to get people's attention. I saw a healing. We were in Hungary, another mission trip. And There was a babushka, a little lady with a scarf, you know, short, and she had a big hump on her back. And we had some young girls with us, high school girls. And we were there to pray. I mean, we're evangelizing, really, and doing what we can do to help that church there. And they had a meeting at night, and there was this woman had a hump on her back. And so these girls just said, okay, we're going to pray. And the hump just went, it's like if you have a pillow and you push in on it, it just goes flat. I mean, her clothes just went, just sagged away from the hump. Oh, you do heal. Thank you, God. I tell you what, it impressed the lady. She had a hump on her back that wasn't pleasant, and now it's gone. Do you think that her friends in her neighborhood won't notice? Is it not a testimony of God's love and healing grace? Is it not proof that he is alive and well and wants to get our attention? I think it does. Peter traveled around in Acts 9, and he healed this guy that had been paralyzed for 8 years in a bed. And it says that he said to him, "So Jesus Christ heals you. Now get up and take your mat and walk." Boom. That's faith. Immediately he got up, and all those who lived around him turned to the Lord when they saw him. They all turned to the Lord. Evangelism. People need to see what God can do and is willing to do, wants to do. We're going to ask God now to impart the gift of healing for those. I want it. I don't claim to be the big time healer. But I can see, you know, it's beyond me. But the cool thing is, thank God it's beyond me. Because it can also be a blessing for someone that I could touch in his name. And it's a gift. That means we don't earn it. We ask for it. We receive it because God already has it wrapped up with a nice bow and says, if you'll be a good steward of this, I think I want to give you something that will help someone else. And if you know Jesus, why not ask for the gift of healing? If you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, which is a separate act of God after we ask Jesus into our heart, it's clear. We don't have time to go over that right now. But if you know what I'm talking about and you say, I don't think I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit, I've maybe been water baptized, so on. Well, then I would suggest asking God for that because that's a gift as well. And that's an entrance to these other gifts. Father, you look down upon us and you see this room. We're here because, God, we believe in who you are. We believe in what you want to do. Father, we may be foolish, but we believe you want to do it through people like us. You're the healer, but Jesus, you looked out and you had compassion on the masses and your heart broke. And you were always healing the lepers and freeing the demon-possessed and moving in people's lives, setting them free. Father, we want to be people that can see others set free. Now, Father, we ask for this gift. Father, you see our hands. God, oh, to have the healing over cancers, to have the healing over epilepsy, to have the healing over Down syndrome, to have the healing, Father, over sexual diseases, to have the healing, God, over heart problems, over lung problems, over joint problems. God, that we could be able to minister the healing strength of Christ to the hurting people that you created to know you, Lord, and use it to open their eyes to who you are. Use us, God. Father, impart your gifts to us, God, that we might be people of faith to walk and touch this world. Thank you, Lord. Now begin to thank him for it. Thank you, Lord.